Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
John.
I have a dilemma.
Another one?
Another one. Many dilemmas.
What's today?
Well, today's dilemma is I love technology, but I'm afraid it's going to automate my job away. But I need technology so I can succeed in my role and prove that what I'm doing is valuable for the business. So I don't know how to
handle it. They call it Catch 22. They wrote a book about it. You know, that's the question that we hear a lot, that we discuss with artificial intelligence taking everybody's job and robotics doing that. But humans are humans. And I personally believe that all these things, in the best case scenario, they are going to augment our capacity. And hopefully, if we do the right choices, they're going to make our life better. Where, as you said in the first episode of this, I'm going to remind you that you said that you are overappreciated and underworked.
That's right. I am overappreciated and underworked. I need more work and less people to thank me for it. And I think in all seriousness, this is in connection to SOC Analyst Appreciation Day, SOCAnalystDay.com for those listening, where in reality, the SOC analysts are human and they need technology. They need to use technology, but not in a way that stresses them out or makes them worry about things or hides them away in the dark office and have no exposure to the management team and the executive staff for all the cool stuff that they're doing. So the purpose of this day is to kind of highlight the value of the SOC analyst and what they do on a daily basis and how it helps the organization.
And thanking them.
Exactly. And so one of the things we were thrilled to have Josh click on today. Josh has had many years experience working in the SOC, managing SOCs and helping organizations achieve success with their SOC. Josh, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think we have the same problem, overappreciated, underworked.
There you go. It's a common theme. So Josh, what I'm hoping we'll do here in this conversation is kind of highlight the role of technology and innovation. And yes, it's about technology, but what I really want to get into is in the mind of the SOC analyst and how they leverage technology and innovate tools and scripts and processes and workflows and whatever else, and how they communicate even to produce the best SOC possible and therefore help drive business value to the business. So I'd quickly like you to maybe share a few words about your experience at Xerox. I presume you're working in the SOC, helping stand it up and build it out, mature it, and maybe some other experience you've had, just to kind of set the tone for this conversation and give folks a view into what you've been up to.
Yeah, so I started my career at a company called ACS, which was acquired by Xerox. It was a large MSS, so we had 360 some clients, and we manage them in the security operations. The level of services varied client to client, but we pretty much did everything. And then I moved into SIM vendorship, where I went into work for a couple SIM vendors and got into doing some security operations assessments and design, and worked with some large Fortune 500 companies on designing SOCs. So that's my background. And now I work for Devo as a cybersecurity specialist.
Very cool. Very cool. Thanks. So why don't we start from the beginning? Not when you were born, but kind of like when the profession was born. It's not a profession that's been there since the beginning of time. And I don't even want to probably go too far back in time, but the moment that technology has become a factor, and maybe is technology being adopted just for the heck of it without thinking what it would do to the human that use it? Or is it technology carved around humanity? I love that kind of conversation. So I would like to know what your position on that is.
Yeah, so I think technology was carved originally to fulfill certain needs. And as we figured out what technology can do, we found more things to use it for. And what that's forced us as humans to do, which we're not good at, is to evolve what we do. So we've gone from being the repetitive button pusher that, you know, or the doing the exact same thing over and over. So all the way back to, you know, cutting wood with a handsaw repetitively, to now where we have machines that do that. And now we work on the machines to make the machines do that. So instead of us doing it, we're actually the ones developing the machines to cut the wood for us or to, you know, do any task for us. Now we're looking at having machines drive cars for us. I mean, just think of how much we've come just in the last 50 years. It's just amazing to think at, almost overwhelming, because that's 50 years of a billion years that we've been around. So, you know, what's the next 50 or billion years to hold for us? So.
Yeah. And if we look at a system as complex as an autonomous car, there's a lot that goes into that. I think as humans, we probably take a lot of it for granted. And so I'm going to swing that now to the SOC. And I'd like your perspective on some of the things we take for granted of the analyst as they're doing their day-to-day job. But what are some of the things they do to innovate? First thing out of my mind is scripts, and that could be tons of things. So maybe talk about that and other things you see where analysts are innovating.
Yeah, so they're innovating to, in my opinion, to make their jobs easier, at, in cases tolerable, or to even make it where they're able to come to work for each day, right? And oftentimes the scripting you're talking about, 100% agree, like the scripting, the integrations, the customization that they're doing, even developing their own tooling is to fulfill where the technology has gaps or has let them down. So they're doing what all the vendors are trying to do today, some more successful than others. And that is provide that, you know, that single place for an analyst, that focal point, and be the lifeblood of the SOC. So right now that hasn't existed. And analysts for the last 20 years have been forced to deal with that. You know, it was easier 20 years ago, you know, a couple pieces of paper, a couple whiteboards, they were able to deal with that. But the information's gotten so much more robust. There's no way they could do that with a whiteboard or paper today. Simple computing isn't even feasible anymore. Need robust computing that can sift through billions of events every day.
So how is this going? So this is how it started. This is how it's going. Yeah. And this is where it is going. And my point is, are we in that transitional moment where maybe it's not making the analyst's life easier? I mean, maybe more effective, but how about on the mental health level and the burnout and all that thing that we hear a lot? I mean, is it helping or is it making things worse?
In some cases, both. I think it's just humans do not want to change. So in order to get better, we've got to be able to change. So that's one challenge, right? And then the second challenge is we've got to solve the problems of yesterday so we can tackle the problems of today and tomorrow. Yesterday's problems in it, as an industry, still are not solved. We still do not know, are not good at managing data, presenting it to analysts in reasonable formats that they can, you know, make quick decisions on. In fact, a lot of things analysts do are super repetitive that at this point probably should be automated. You know, we're looking at talking about artificial intelligence. We don't even need artificial intelligence to tackle some of these repetitive tasks the analysts are doing today. And I think once we do that, then we're going to allow the analysts to grow. We're going to find that they're able to do much more than what they're allowed to do today.
So is it a a right of the analyst, or is it an expectation of the analyst that they innovate or burn out? If those are kind of the polarizing, if technology and innovation and then building an environment that they can at least be somewhat comfortable in is one extreme, and the other is, we're not going to fund you with the tools and the technology, and we're not going to give you time to innovate to make your life easier. Where does the analyst fit in the middle of that? Is it a right to have this ability, or is it an expectation that they just burn out?
Yeah. So from an analyst point of view, I think in a lot of cases it's survival. But from a business point of view, right, is where do you want to focus your attention? Do you want to focus it on constantly having analysts burn out and replacing the analyst, which we know is a costly endeavor every time you have turnover? Or do you want to focus more into the technology so that you have less turnover, you're able to develop the analyst, they learn from your environment, and then ultimately make better decisions once the rubber meets the road, so to speak?
And do you see, in your experience, do you see organizations, I'll put it a different way, what's the impact you see when organizations give space and make the investment in the analyst to make the decisions on how and where to innovate and leverage technology?
Yeah. So about 6 or 7 years ago, I helped design a security operations center for a company that had extremely high turnover. They were a Fortune 50 company. They had extremely high turnover, and we helped develop the processes and helped identify the technologies they needed to bring in. And it wasn't even anything remotely capable of what's out there today. But once they put more focus around helping the analyst, making their life a little better, and then just providing some simple basic tooling around that so that they were not doing the same mundane task over and over and over, just a little bit of automation, and then also doing some job rotation, some of the classic security recommendations that have been out there that are often overlooked. Their turnover has gone from almost 100% turnover a year to where they're maintaining 75% of their staff year over year. So the analysts are much happier. They've also developed career paths within their organization for them. So they're finding that the analysts that were tier ones back 5-6 years ago are now either becoming managers, team leads, moving on to other parts of the organization. In fact, one of the guys I know has moved on to another organization and become a director. So these guys are developing their careers as well. And it's helping make them more attractive for analysts, where before they were having trouble finding the talent. Now they have too much talent, they have to turn it away.
Well, that's a good thing to a certain point. What I like, Josh, to know here is, so we talk about technology as a way to make things easier, but from a business perspective, many times easier means more productive. And what is more productive for the business may not be what is best for the human in the machine. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So I love to talk about what can we do outside of the technology or with some kind of technology that can help to really not just make them perform better, but to feel better. I'm thinking like the little things that remind you on your watch to stand up or breathe and meditate, or maybe get together with friend. I mean, I know this event on the 20th is going to have a yoga session. It's all soft things, soft skills, soft solution, but you know what? We're human. We need that stuff. So unless you get a robot to come and give you a massage when you're at the desk, you're going to have to do something yourself. So what's your experience on that?
Hey, I kind of have one of those robots, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah.
Share it.
Yeah. So ultimately, I think that's why we're here, right? We got to show analysts appreciation. Exactly. We've got to help them strive to meet their goals. And in return, they'll help the company strive to meet their goals, right? It's a two-way street. It's just like a relationship. One-way relationships don't work very well. They're usually not very successful. The long-term relationships are bi-directional, and that's the way a company's relationship with their analysts should be. And you're right. The, you know, productivity is not always making the analyst's life easier directly, but having them. So I guess my analogy is I can spend 10 hours doing the task myself or have a system that could probably do the same task in 10 minutes, right? So I guess it's all a matter of measuring that. And you're not going to be able to make every decision in favor of the analyst. There is a business after all, but having that open communication, showing the appreciation and having the analyst help buy into that and give their input, I think are all keys to the success in this area. Because ultimately it's a relationship. It's not a dictatorship.
Yeah, it is a relationship. And I know my experience working at some large and small companies, when the objectives, the MBOs are formed, when there's a collaboration there, those tend to be better than when a manager says, here's what you're going to do. And what I'd like to do, because you mentioned measurement, how does a manager work with the analyst to define objectives to not only support the business, but support the well-being of the analysts themselves? Because if it's, you're going to close out X number of incidents every day, and you're going to produce a weekly report on your activities, that's all tactical numbers type stuff, but doesn't take into account the innovation and how they may have helped the team collaborate on something else bigger. So how does a manager work with an analyst or their analyst, multiple analysts, to define objectives that are measurable, not only for support of the business, but also for the well-being of the analyst?
Yeah, so go back to personal experience. So I had a job one time that was one of the easiest jobs I've ever had, but it was also one of the most miserable ones. The reason for that is because I did not understand the role that I had in the organization. One of the most difficult jobs I ever had, it was the most challenging by far, but I understood very clearly what my role is and I loved coming to work. And I think it's the same thing with the analyst. You're right. All those measurements you just named off, like closing tickets, the mean time to respond, all that stuff, that's all very tactical stuff, right? The analyst is working for a company oftentimes, especially the quality employees out there will choose a company based on what they're doing or some contribution they can bring to the table because they want something from the company, but they also want to give back. And helping them understand how that is helping the business is key. So it's not just, hey, we found this detection and that's cool. Hey, we found this detection and this is actually how it helped stop or thwart an attack within the organization, or this is how this investigation helped save the company millions of dollars. Things like that, and helping them tie that back to the business objectives.
Let's talk about, as we start maybe to wrap, and then we can really give all the information for the event that is coming up and maybe tease a little bit about what is going on. The role of technology in making not only the analysts more productive, but how to train the workforce. I'm assuming there is a lot in that can make this, you know, gap. Even if you said that now, there may be even too many, but we in cybersecurity, we always talk about the gap in the workforce. So is technology helping to make better analysts or just make their life better?
So I think both. So I think it is presenting new challenges to the analyst, different challenges and more complex challenges. So they're not just sawing the same type of wood, same cut every single day over and over all day long. Now they're actually having to put some thought behind it. It goes back to the saying of or that old wives' tale of idle hands, right? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Is the more learning that you do, the more that you're challenged in everyday life, the more effective you'll be and happier you'll be as a human being. And I think that analogy actually plays very well and directly to what we see in analysts. The analysts who are the most miserable are the ones who have the same repetitive task all day long. There's no variety. They're not learning anything new. It's just the same thing. They're bored in their work, right? Regardless of workload's a whole nother factor to this. The ones that have unique situations they're dealing with, more complex situations, even though it's much, much harder and challenging, are much more happy because they are learning something new every day. They are being challenged and they have the sense of accomplishment once they overcome that challenge or that hurdle that they have to get over.
Yeah. And you know what I think in the past, and I go back to, you know, the division of work, you know, Adam Smith and how even at that time during the Industrial Revolution, we were talking about alienation, right? When somebody does the repetitive task and it just doesn't fulfill their life with the work. And you brought the right example when you're like, sure, I may have the easiest job, but that doesn't make me the happiest person, right? So yeah, I think having that vision is really important. And Sean, we're going to try to do something to bring that larger vision during this event. And it's a panel. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about that as we also wrap this conversation.
Yeah, I'll touch on the panel. And then I also want to just kind of frame the overall event, because I think we touched on a lot of things here that I want to wrap with. But the panel is going to bring these elements from multiple perspectives. One directly from the analyst perspective, like we're doing here, but also with their manager and also with the CISO. So somebody who's down in the trenches, folks that are managing teams, and then hopefully somebody who understands the value of security to the business that can connect all those dots. And it's a delicate balance across all of those points. And I'm excited to have a conversation to kind of figure out where those things line up together. Ultimately, to recognize the value of the work that the analysts are doing, closing that ticket helps drive revenue in some way or protect revenue in some way. And the better we can make that connection, I think the better chance we'll have supporting the analysts in the role that they have and the work that they're doing. And today's episode was all about, we use the word technology a lot, and I threw innovation in there a couple times. And I really want to pull on that innovation point, because it isn't just innovating with tech. I think it's innovation overall, and it's how we think, how we interact with each other, the processes we use, how we communicate with each other. And I know the event's looking at a lot of these aspects. So there's a comedian coming in to help us laugh. We need a break from the monotony and the pressures and have a good laugh. So we're going to have some comedy on the day to share. As Marco mentioned, there's the yoga. I mean, we need to innovate and find ways, and yoga may or may not be for everybody, but it's an example of innovating to help take a break from the seat, take a break from the keyboard, free the mind of things and feel something different than closing ticket after ticket after ticket. So those two examples for me are signs of innovation that I think analysts should embrace and managers should really help their teams find a way to innovate in those ways as well. So I'm excited for this event, Marco, and all that's going to happen with it. I'm thrilled to be able to lead that panel, to have that conversation. And I'm very, very happy that we had Josh on today to bring his experience directly and also working with other teams and organizations.
Yeah, and just to remind that this that is going to happen on October 20th, it's not just about our panel and the comedian and yoga, although that would be really fun, but there are also going to be other speakers, and it's going to be an event that is not all day long, but it's going to be reach of, I like to think it's going to be reach of humanity. So even if today we talked a lot about technology, that particular event is about giving some kudos to the people that do the job. And then we can thank technology other times. That's cool.
Yes. So October 20th, SOCAnalystDay.com. Of course, we'll have stuff on ITSP Magazine as well to help lead you to the event. And finally, the last point I want to make, this is really about the analyst. So take a moment, either internally or publicly, and recognize your analysts for the work they're doing. And I believe there are even some e-cards and things like that that you can advantage of to show that appreciation. Because not everybody's like Marco and I, where we're in Josh, where we're all overappreciated and underworked.
With a robot that is massaging our back. Yeah, right. Yep. And then I wake up. All right, this was fun. Josh, thank you so much for your time and leading us to this event coming up.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.